I'm now going to hand this over to Robert P., who will be doing the Ask a Basket. Thank you, Robert. And again, I'd like to give everybody that did the traditions a big hand. That was wonderful. Everybody did an amazing job. Thank you so much for participating.
My name is Robert. I'm an alcoholic. We've got four people asking questions today, and they'll be asking randomly the people that they're directed to. The first person asking questions will be Kelly F. from Harvest Fellowship.
Hi, guys. My name's Kathy, and I am a hopeful alcoholic, District 42, Harvest Fellowship in Clovis, California. Very happy to be here today. And it's lunchtime. I don't know if you can hear the clock. It's noon. Woo! The first question we have today is directed to Randall M. Are you ready, Randall? The question is, how does Tradition 1 come into play when dealing with cliques and personalities that don't mesh? Woo! Take it away, Randall.
Hi, this is Josh. You know what? I think Randall had to go.
Uh-oh.
Move on to the next question, Kathy.
All right. Well, then we have the next question is for Miss Tanya, who focused on Tradition 2. Tanya, how best can our group conscience be expressed?
Hi, Tanya, alcoholic. My experience has been that the best way our group conscience could be expressed is by getting a consensus of whatever we're trying to accomplish and basically taking it up for a vote and seeing what the majority of the members have to say. But the most important thing, or of equal importance, is to consider the minority opinion. As someone else stated earlier, sometimes the group seems that they're going to lean one way, and then we hear a whole different perspective. And by doing that, I feel we keep God in this, and we're respectful of everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And the final question that I have is to Matthew L., who focused on Tradition 3. When someone identifies themselves as an addict at an AA meeting, can the group say, "You're not welcome here"? Take it away, Matthew.
Hey, thank you for the question. In my home group, we have had a group conscience, and we say in our opening monologue that if you have a problem with alcohol, alcohol or other substances, you're welcome to be here. But those of you that would like to share, I think you have to have a problem with alcohol, something to that effect. It's been a while since I've been at a meeting. But what that does is it identifies that we're only talking about alcoholism in our meeting. Now, if you have problems other than alcohol, we ask that you remain quiet or and to speak with someone after the meeting. That's how we address that. We could all talk about many things that we are addicted to. But what we do is we specifically ask that those that share talk about alcoholism. And we have decided to put that in there because we want to make sure everybody feels included, when they share, and that they are not overlooked, that after the meeting, the conversations about other outside issues, we could talk with a member. And I hope that answers the question. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. The next set of questions will be asked by Kristen G. of Visalia.
Hi, everyone. Glad you're here. The first question is to Matthew L., who spoke on Tradition 3. It is
all right.
Matthew, the question is, what about someone who wants to reduce their alcohol consumption? Should they be allowed to participate in meetings if they don't have a desire to stop drinking?
Thank you for the question. Absolutely. Again, in my home group, the only requirement for you to participate and to be a member is a desire to stop drinking. We have had.
Well.
Okay. Sorry, I got distracted there by somebody else's not muted. So we've had a wet
brew.
All right, so I'm sorry, I was just waiting for people to stop talking. So we've had a wet member come to the meeting and express themselves and let everybody know that they were drunk in the meeting, and that we quietly and respectfully approached them and asked if they would like to talk to a member outside the meeting. And to answer the question, if you are still drinking, you are welcome to come to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's fine. It's the desire to stop and that you know that you have a problem. That's what we're, hopefully the person is open and willing to listen. But it's hard to talk to a person that is in their disease and is drunk at a meeting, for sure. And hopefully not to disrupt the meeting, but to, you know, try to ask them to step outside and have a conversation with them outside and bring two or three people with you, men working with men and women working with women. I hope that answered the question. I kind of got sidetracked with other things there. It's very hard to follow.
Thank you, Matthew. Our second question is to Daryl D., who spoke on Tradition 6. The question is, Tradition 6, the tradition states that AA ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. So their question is, what about the individual? And that's to Daryl D.
And thanks for the question. That's a good question. We can't represent Alcoholics Anonymous as an individual to another organization. And I'm assuming that that's what they meant, is speaking for AA as an individual and saying this is what AA thinks about this issue, you know, for speaking for another organization. We can't, we still can't represent AA because I think there's anonymity issues and I'm not sure quite what they meant by an individual. In my talk, I discussed where people were asked spokespersons for organizing. It's something that they were able to do. Didn't do because they were representing Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, yeah, I would say as far as representing Alcoholics Anonymous on your own, that's still something that should not be done. Anyway, thanks for letting me be of service.
Kristen, do you have any more questions?
That was it. Thank you.
Okay. The next presenter is Darcy C. from Morning Maintenance. Darcy, go ahead.
Hi, Darcy C. from Morning Maintenance. I have three questions. The first question goes out to Sunit. Am I saying your name right?
Yeah, you are. Sunit D. Darcy, I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm just trying to look for Sunit.
Sunit D. He's there. Go ahead, ask him the question.
Okay, so Sunit, you had Tradition 7. The question is, should individuals' donations to World Services be made directly, or should donations be made at the group level and let the money work its way up the food chain?
Great question.
Sue Alcoholic, it is a great question. I think
it's an either or, right? There is a button that you can press on AA.org for contributions directly to GSO, but also at the same time, it's probably good to speak to your group's treasurer and like your intergroup rep, just to see how your central office or your intergroup is doing. I know I just this morning I'd met with somebody and their home group has 75 members and weekly, but they only don't get contributions now of $20 to $30 a week, you know, and that's probably because most of those contributions are now going to our Seattle intergroup, and our Seattle intergroup is now in the black, right? And so that information probably your intergroup rep or your treasurer would know, and that, and if your intergroup's doing well and your group is doing okay, you know, it probably is good to donate straight to the GSO. Thank you.
Thank you. And don't go anywhere because you have the next one. So, Sunny?
Yep.
Okay. So this is from Tom A. for Tradition 7. If so much of our financial support comes from literature sales to cover our expenses, why do I need to make any additional contributions?
So... You know, I think when we talk about literature sales, it's only 50% of your like revenue or income, right? And which would mean that to cover the rest of the 50%, the one way to do it. And I know this was a topic, you know, in when I was in general service in the Bay Area, and was like would be like, you know, at the moment the price of your big book's $10, right? And to cover that cost, then you know you'd have to make up for that 50%. So you'd have to probably increase your big book prices to $20, right? So that's one answer. And I think if everything was covered by contributions, you'd have pretty cheaper books and make it more affordable to newcomers. And if our primary purpose is to carry the message, right, wouldn't a cheap big book be dope? But the other thing is, like, I think, you know, like, I think about like I have a family with 12 sisters and we're pretty close, and it was only up until I got sober. Before I got sober, I would be like, you know, when we would have family to like celebrations or anything or family expenses, I'd be like, whoa, you know, the buck stops there. I'm not going to cover anything because my two older sisters can cover the costs, you know. And it was only when I was about a year sober that I was like, you know, I am part of this family and I got to contribute, right? And I think, you know, just like having a commitment to my home group makes me feel a part of my home group. You know, I think donating to Alcoholics Anonymous and through all the service structures and that, or contributing, right, makes me feel a part of Alcoholics Anonymous and makes me feel like AA is my thing, just like it's like your thing, you know. And and I also think about like I've been thinking about when I was preparing for this, there's the upside down triangle. Sure. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for asking. Answering our second question, I have one more. My third question goes to Louis M.
Hi, my name is Louis. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Louis. So can you discuss the process or procedures by minority opinions at a group business meeting?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Can you discuss the process and or procedures for minority opinion in a group business meeting?
And this would be in a business meeting, right?
Correct.
Well, you would, for me, I would just set it up that there would be the minority opinion would be heard, and the secretary of the business meeting would bring that up if there is a minority opinion after, you know, after they had taken a vote, if there was a minority opinion on that issue or that proposal. Is that kind of what you were talking about?
Perfect. Thank you, Louie. We have two more questions, and they will be asked by Chris R. of Auberry. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. And my first question here is for Kelly from Tom. So the question is, with AA getting more involved in social media, do you think individuals look at this and think that it is okay to break anonymity at the public level?
Yeah, I think breaking anonymity at the public level is just a byproduct of members really not being educated on what our traditions are and not contemplating those within their own program of Alcoholics Anonymous, their own practice of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that's why these types of workshops are so critical, right? To talk about, you know, what we're doing. Because again, like I said, you know, there's no judgments here. Everybody has the right to be right. And meaning that, you know, if somebody does something, you know, you might think it's a right to be wrong, but that's your opinion. They may feel it's, you know, the right thing to do. So I think it's really, it's inevitable that part of, again, attraction rather than promotion is making sure that people know where we are, where they can find us. You know, we have to do that. And we've been a little slow to the party when it comes to the internet and technology about doing that because of the issues we've had about how can we protect our anonymity. But I think it's really clear now that you can protect your anonymity and AA can have an amazing presence on social media. This is an example where we're doing this meeting, right, in Zoom, right? And so we know how to protect each other's anonymity as well in this regard. And so I think that both are possible, that AA can continue to increase our presence on social media, and if the members choose to do so, that you can continue to protect your anonymity at the public level. But it really takes, we also have to be very conscious that, again, by breaking your anonymity on social media, you can also be breaking others' anonymity as well.
Thank you.
And I just say, too, hi to all my Fresno friends. I got a lot of friends here in the rooms that I haven't had a chance to say hello to that I've known for so long. So wonderful to see all of you and all my new friends that I'm meeting here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. And our next question is for Wendy on tradition 12. Is there an easy way for us to remind ourselves to place principles before personalities?
Well, yeah. I mean, it saved my life. Every time I'd get all aggro about something, I would go, "Whoa, wait a minute. Is that a principle or a personality?" I mean, you really just have to see how you feel. You know, if your stomach starts to churn and you start getting all hot, okay, this is a personality. This is not a principle.
Amen.
Thank you so much for all those that participated in the Ask It Basket and sending in questions, and our readers. I believe I now turn it back over to Raina or Johnny. I'm not sure, but take it away for the Jeopardy.